Chapter 92, the book of Psalms, chapter number 92, and we're going to read the whole chapter. There's 15 verses there. That's not a lot of reading, but we're going to read all of that, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. But let's do pray for Ethan this morning. If he does not come out of the coma, the medically induced coma, like they want him to, and starts having the seizures, they're going to put him right back in, and they're going to try a special diet. And, you know, that might be the thing that needs to happen. I don't know. But let's just pray the Lord's will be done there. And, you know, it seems to me like if something like that could be controlled through diet, that'd be better than through medicine. And but I don't know. We don't know the Lord's will. So let's just pray the Lord's will be done there. But if they try to put him on that diet, it's going to take 5 more days. We'll have to put him back in, and he'll be 5. So it's a complicated process either way. So let's especially pray for him this morning when we go to the Lord in prayer. But let's read in Psalms chapter number 92, verses 1 through 15, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Psalms chapter 92, verse number 1. This goes right along with what we just heard out of Psalms 100. But it says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for letting us be here today and the many blessings that you've given to us. And Lord, as we come this morning, we pray and ask that you would help us as we look into the Word of God. I pray, Lord, you'd speak to our hearts, open our minds. Give us the power and the unction of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we might be able to preach as you'd have us to today. And Lord, I pray for Ethan. God, I pray for him as he comes out of the coma today. And Lord, I pray that God, you just touch him. I pray your will would be done. Sometimes I don't even know how to pray concerning the situation, but Lord, we come knowing that you know what's best and you know what needs to happen. And God, we pray for your will to be done. I pray, Lord, that they'd be able to get these seizures under control or totally away with. Lord, we ask for your help. We ask for your touch. Lord, we're coming today as a church, agreeing together that, Lord, we want your will to be done. And God, that you'd help the Love family as only you can. Give them grace today for whatever the news might be. Lord, we pray for them. We have many others that are sick. We ask you to touch and be with them. But God, I pray you'd help us as we look into thy word today. Lord, I pray you'd speak to us as a church and as individuals. We'll thank you for what you do. We come asking it all in Jesus' name and amen. All right, let's read one more verse out of this chapter, and that's verse number 10. I want to read that verse. That's where I'm going to try to preach from today. He said, "But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil." Now, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but if you go back to the beginning of the chapter here, the title, it says a psalm or song for the Sabbath day. And of all the good things that we find in this passage of Scripture that is specifically for what the Bible says, the Sabbath day. Now, we don't worship on the Sabbath day. The Sabbath is a Saturday. But we worship on Sunday, which many times is called the Christian Sabbath. What I'm saying is it'll still work for the day of worship. This psalm, there's many good things we could point out and try to bring out today. I'll look just a little bit in the passage of Scripture, but I want to really try to preach from the last part of verse number 10. There are only seven words there in the last part of verse number 10. He said, "I shall be anointed with fresh oil." And I want to try to preach on that, and it goes right along with our Sunday school lesson today. I want to try to preach on the subject of fresh oil. Now, Psalms chapter number 92 is contrasting the wicked and the righteous. He talks first of all about the wicked, just a few things about them. He said about the wicked, verse number 5, he said, "O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not." A brutish man, a wicked man, he's like a dumb beast out here. He doesn't see the great works of God. He doesn't see or understand the handiwork of God. A brutish man knoweth it not. Neither doth a fool understand this. He says in verse number 7 that a wicked man, when the wicked spring as the grass. A wicked man is like the grass out here. It grows up, it lasts just a very little, a short period of time, and then it dies, it goes away. And he says that's what the wicked are like. But the righteous, on the other hand, if you look in verse number 10, there's the little word "but," and there begins a contrast. The wicked are one day, but the Bible says, "My horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn." He goes on down and begins to talk about the difference between the wicked and the righteous. It says in verse number 12, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree." Now the wicked, they're like the grass. They come up, they live a short while, they pass away. But the righteous, they're like a palm tree. And so they live a long time, and they're upright and fruitful and all of these things. It says in verse number 13, "Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God." Verse 14, "They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing." Boy, right there, that's a good place to preach at this time of the year, isn't it? They shall be fat and flourishing. It seems like all you do from Thanksgiving all the way through the new year is eat, and we all pretty much, I say all, talk about that. You know, we put on weight this time of the year and need to do something to get it off. Well, that's not the type of fat that it's talking about there, but it is talking about being fruitful, and it's talking about flourishing, it's talking about being healthy, and it's talking about lasting a long time. And you know, if we're going to do that, if we're going to last a long time like a palm tree, and we're going to be fruitful and fat and flourishing, we're going to need something. And what we need is found in the last part of verse number 10, where the psalmist says, "I shall be anointed with fresh oil." That's what we need if we're going to be what the Lord would have us to be. We're going to have some fresh oil in our lives. And David recognized that. He said, "I shall be anointed with fresh oil." Now, those of you that are Bible readers and studiers, you already know that oil in the Bible is a type of the Holy Spirit. Oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. Our Sunday school lesson went along just beautifully with what I'd like to try to preach on this morning. But for example, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27 says, but the anointing, and this is talking about the Holy Spirit, the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you. If you are saved by the grace of God, the oil is already in there. The oil has already been made available unto us. The anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you. If you're saved, this is not something that you need to try to get. It's something that you've already got. And that's the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit that lives and abides within each and every one of us that are saved. You know, I was thinking about this message and studying about it, and there's a lot of things that we could say about the subject of oil. And oil is used in many different ways in the Bible, and also in our lives as well. We use things that run on oil and have to have oil all the time. And you know, if something is designed to have oil or to run on oil, if it does not have oil, it will break down and quit running in a very short period of time. Oil is a very necessary part of our society that we live in. And I realized this morning there's different types of oil. But, you know, my dad, he was a truck driver. And one thing that he had in abundance all those years that he drove a truck. And, you know, if you spent every day, hour upon hour, riding in a truck, you wouldn't want that truck to rattle as you went down the road, would you? I mean, you go down the road from here to the tomato shack, you know, you don't think anything about a rattly car. But if you lived your life riding and driving in a truck, that rattling all the time, that'd get on your nerves. And so my dad, down through the years, he should have bought stock in duct tape and blue glue and white grease and things like that. But you know, I believe he's an expert in stopping things from rattling. And I learned a few things off of him down through the years. If you've got, for example, if you'll even take your car and, you know, your door gets to squeaking or something like that, you don't have to go trade the car. You can put a little oil on that, put a little grease on that, and you'd be amazed how much that will help things run and operate how they ought to. Oil is a good thing. It's a blessing. It'll make things run and work smoothly. It'll quiet down noises and creaks and squeaks and all kinds of things like that. And there's a lot of things we could say about oil. We cut wood. We heat with wood during the winter, so I have a chainsaw. And if you have a chainsaw, you know anything about it, you put gas in it and it'll run. But you got to put something else in it too. You've got to put what's called bar and chain oil. And if you don't put bar and chain oil in it, it won't take long. You will ruin your blade. You'll burn up and make it all dull and everything. And you know, I think that's how we are in the church a lot of times. We run, we've got something going on all the time, but we don't have oil where we need to have oil. And we're dull, and we don't have much power to do what we ought to do. You got to have that bar and chain oil running across that chain and that bar to keep it all running and smooth, and so it'll have the power and the effect that it ought to have. The other day I'd come in from hunting, and I don't hunt a lot. I used to, but I hunt a little bit, and I brought my rifle in, and I'd been out that evening, and I come in and it missed it on me just a little bit. And all I've done, I'm not like Jonah. He had his pictures this morning. He killed a deer and he wanted to bring and show me, and I'm glad he did. I didn't know there was still any deer to be had around. But anyway, he brought and showed me the pictures, and all I've done is go out, set, walk around, get cold, come back, and done that over and over and over again. And I come in the other evening, and I unloaded my rifle when I got back to the house, and I noticed it almost squeaked when I turned the bolt up to get the bullet out. And I looked at that rifle I've got, and it's a nice rifle and everything. And I looked at it, and I thought, my goodness, I need to clean that thing. I need to put some oil on that thing. And so, the barrel had rust on it, and it had dust from where I'd walked through briars and pine trees and pine needles down in the mechanism of the thing, and the wood on it was all dull looking and everything like that, and it wouldn't even hardly work the action on it. But I put it up on my workbench, and boy, I coated that thing down with a good coat of oil, and I run a swab through the barrel there, and I went over the little places on it, and I picked it up, and I looked at it, and I worked the action on it, and boy, it worked and looked just like it was about brand new. I looked at it, and I thought, boy, I didn't know that rifle was that nice. I noticed it had a gold trigger on it, and I'd forgot about it. I hadn't been taking care of it like I should have. But when I put some oil on it, it worked just like brand new. And it looked better than it's looked in a long time. And you say, preacher, what's that got to do with anything this morning? Well, I'd ask you the question today. Why is it that you're so squeaky and hard to work? You ever get like that spiritually sometimes? You're just barely getting along as a child of God, and you're dull and you're powerless in your life, and you're rusty, not like you ought to be. You're awkward in what you do, and you don't have any power. Why is it that so many Christians are walking around in this world moping around like they've lost their best friend? You ever seen anybody like that lately? We ought to be the happiest, shoutingest, gladdest people on God's green earth. But I'll tell you, sometimes we walk around like we've lost our best friend. What's wrong with us? What's wrong with us when we get like that? We have no power in our Christian life. We can't pray. We don't have any joy. We don't have any unction. We don't have any burden for the lost. We don't have any prayer, praise upon our lips. Why is it that there's times where there's all kinds of friction in our home? I pause right there so you say amen. There's friction in the home, and you can't get along with your wife or your children. There's friction in the church, and things aren't like they ought to be. Why is it that it gets like that sometimes and many times? Why is it we come to church and the service is cold and formal, and we just go through the motions? You know, how come there's times like that? Well, I'll tell you what we need. We need to be anointed with fresh oil. What wonders that would do for us. And David understood and realized that. In spite of everything he was talking about, he said, you know what I need? I shall be anointed with fresh oil. And I want to point out about five things about these seven words about this fresh oil, and I hope it'll help us this morning. Number one, right from our text, it is a personal thing. He said in verse 10, he said, that's personal, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. People come to church and they go away, and I know how it is. I know how it is sometimes. People go away and they'll say, you know what, I don't get anything at church. I didn't get anything out of the sound. I don't think the choir sung good. I didn't get anything out of the preacher. I don't know what he was talking about. I don't know, if he had a bad week or what it is, but I didn't get anything out of the preaching. I didn't enjoy it. I don't know what's wrong with them folks down there. You ever heard that? What's wrong with us? I'll tell you, if you come to church and you don't get anything out of it, I'm going to tell you whose fault it is. I'm going to stop going away feeling disheartened sometimes because the service doesn't go how I think it ought to go. I don't think it's so much the preacher's fault. I don't think it's, if it's my fault, I'll just be honest and tell you it's my fault. I don't think it's so much the choir's fault. I think it's our fault. That'd help us if we'd realize who the problem really was lying with when we come to church and we don't get anything out of it, it's our fault. He said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Somebody else being anointed with fresh oil ain't going to help you. I shall be anointed with fresh oil is what the psalmist said here. Look in verses 1 and verse 2 what the Bible says. Back in chapter number 92, he said, I was noticing this as I was studying. He said, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. You ought to underline that. And thy faithfulness every night. Now this is a song to be sung on the Sabbath day. But when he starts out, he talks about it's a good thing to praise the Lord. And in verse number 2, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Now I wonder if it would have an effect upon us when we come together to worship God on the, we'll say, the Christian Sabbath day. I wonder if it has any effect upon us what we have done every night up until we meet together to worship the Lord. Do we really think we can come together and be anointed with fresh oil as we meet together to worship God if every night through the week we've done everything but worship the Lord or have anything to do with the things of God? He said, well, to do that every night. People say, boy, in the old days, they used to come to church and really worship God. I'll tell you something they did different back in the old days that we do. They didn't sit around every night watching TV and sitting on the computer and doing Facebook and all that bunch of other, all the rest of that stuff that just drains the spiritual life out of us, and we don't even realize what's the problem. What's the problem with us that we can't be clicking when we come to church and just come in there and worship God? Well, I wonder what we've been doing every night up until the time we come to worship God together. He said, well, do that every night. Look what it said in verse number 3. Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. Now, I'll tell you, we'd have a lot more people could play instruments if they did do something other than watch TV every night. You go to churches, nobody can play the piano, nobody can play a guitar. That's becoming a thing of the past, but you know, we can learn to do all kinds of other things. Well, he said in verse 4, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. Thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I wonder if we were to think back over this past week, could anything that we've done be classified as thy work? If all I'm interested in this life is just building up my kingdom, and I'm not worried very much about God's kingdom, then don't be surprised if I don't get much joy out of the things of God. He said, I am glad through thy work. There was something that he was doing that was involved in the work of God, and it was making him glad in what he was doing. You and I, we cannot be spiritual upon somebody else's worship and somebody else's work. It's a personal thing. He said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. The choir can come and sing and it'd be wonderful. And I'll tell you, there was some oil in the choir this morning when they sang. I could just tell. It was a blessing, but I'll tell you, if my heart is not right and not in tune with the things of God, then the oil in the choir is not going to bless and have an effect upon me. He said, it must be personal. This thing has got to be personal. You say, preacher, my spiritual life, I'm not growing, I'm not going, I'm not getting anything out of it. I feel like I'm dying. I don't even know if I'm saved. Then you need to do something about it. The choir's not going to help you. If you're not interested in getting any help in your personal life, the preaching is not going to help you. But when we will say, I need something, then we're to the point where we're getting ready to get some help. It's a personal thing. In verse number 10, I like this. It's a promised thing. He said, I shall be. I like that. He didn't say, I want to be. I need to be. I ought to be. He said, I shall be. I like that. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. That's a promise thing. We studied this morning, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The Lord told him, he said, go and wait for the promise. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. I shall be. I like John chapter 7, verse 38 and 39. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit. God promised his Spirit. Psalmist said, I shall be. The Bible said in Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We are promised that God's people will receive the Spirit of God, and we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit of God. It's not that it's not available. It is available. Say, preacher, well, I'm not feeling very much of the Spirit of God. Well, if you don't have any fresh oil, I submit to you this morning, it's just because you don't want any. Amen. Ephesians 4 and 30, the Bible said over there, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You cannot lose your salvation, but you can grieve the Spirit of God to the place where you don't even feel like you're saved. You ever been there before? Sin in your life will make you feel like you don't know if God's within a million miles of you. Grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, I can't speak for anybody else, but I do believe this, and I've observed this down through the years in pastoring churches. Somebody asked me the other day how long I'd pastored, and I got to figuring about it, and it's right at 20 years. And they were surprised, and I was surprised. I hadn't thought of it like that, but just pastoring churches. And I'll tell you, I've noticed down through the years, it is harder to do or see anything spiritual done at Christmas time than any other time of the year. If I said, we're going to start revival tomorrow night, God laid it on my heart, just come on out Monday night, 7 o'clock, we're going to... Now, don't... I know how people don't listen. Somebody will go home and say, did he say we're having revival tomorrow night? I didn't say that. I said, if I said, we're going to have revival starting tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, be out here. Do you know what it, you know what it would be? We can't. My goodness, preacher, we got places to go and things to do and practices and dinners, and man, we're busy. I've said a lot of times, I told Kim the other day, I'll just make confession this morning if nobody else will. I'll tell you, it's harder to decide what God wants preached on during December than it is any other time of the year. I told Kim, I said, you think anybody'd notice if I just got other preachers to fill in till after Christmas? Just had a visiting preacher every service. Just get somebody. Just have somebody else preach all through December. I've said this before. Might as well not even have church in December. People don't come with Christ on their mind. We try to a little bit. We try to make him the what it's all about and everything. But I'll tell you, people have a hard time. And there's more people depressed in December. There's more people discouraged in December. There's more people walking around with the pooch mouth in December than any other month out of the year. Why? I don't know. Busy? Right? I don't know. But it is hard to have my oil light stays on, you know, in your car. When you get dangerously low on oil and the oil light comes on, my oil light stays on from Thanksgiving right through December just about. Just feel like you're going to dry out and die sometimes. Well, I'll say amen if nobody else will, but I'll tell you what, this morning, I got to studying about it, reading about it. I go through the same thing every year. You know what? I don't plan to stay that way. David said, I shall be. That's a promise. I don't believe that God intends for us to stay that way. He said, I shall be. Some of you act more spiritual than you are. Well, I can't believe he'd say that. You agree? A lot of people agree. There's a lot of people. My wife says I just think different than other people. No, she does. She does. Most people agree with me. Christmas is hard on you spiritually. I don't know why. Maybe we eat too much. I don't know. Maybe we got too much going on. I don't know. I've tried to figure it out, but I'll tell you, I don't have to stay that way. David said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. It's personal. It's promised. I like this. In verse number 10, it's poured. It's poured. That's what it says in verse number 10. He said, I shall be anointed with. That's poured. That anointed with is a pouring as much as it is anything else. It said over in Acts chapter number 2 about the coming of the Spirit of God, I will pour out my Spirit. Poured. That's what anointed was in the Bible. When they anointed a king, when they anointed the high priest, they poured the oil upon their head. Psalms 133. It's just three verses in it, but it talks about unity. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And it says in verse number 2, it is like the precious ointment upon the head that run down upon the beard. They took that anointing oil, that vessel. Somebody want to illustrate who's got a good beard? Everybody look at Brother Wesley back there. Just poured it upon their head and it run down upon their beard. It was poured out upon them. Not a little dabble, do you? It was poured out upon them. Boy, we need a pouring out of the Spirit of God. You know what? If people would keep God upon them like they should, there wouldn't be no strife and disunity in the church or the family. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. There's a pouring out, the anointing. We need that in our lives, an anointing upon our lives. You know, I don't know what God's called anybody else to do. I just know what God's called me to do. And I'm glad this morning that the anointing is enough to do the work that He's called us to do. I was thinking about this past week, things I had to do, things I've got coming up, places to preach and school starting and teaching and studying to teach and all of these things, and it takes a lot. It takes a lot out of a person. But that's just my lot in life. I don't know about anybody else's, but I do know this morning that God's got something for all of us to do, and you know what? There's enough oil. God's not running short on His oil supply. Whatever it is you need to do, you say, oh Lord, I don't know if I can do that. Well, if you was anointed with fresh oil, you could do it. And it'd be a whole lot easier than trying to do things without any oil. There's a lot of churches trying to supply their own oil. That's not going to get the job done. I don't know everything we need, but I know what we don't need in order to get the job done. A lot of churches is trying some kind of new program, some kind of contemporary appeal and style, and going to change the music, change the Bible, change this, change that. Con is a thief, isn't it? And temporary don't last. You think about that when you think about all this contemporary. But God in His Word said, just come back to the old paths. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where's the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. We don't need user-friendly services and all kinds of things like that. All we need in the church is the power and the anointing of God. That makes things run right, run smooth. And God can get His work done among His people. There's a pouring. There's plenty. But also notice in verse number 10 about the oil. It's powerful. He said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Fresh oil. Aren't you glad this morning that what God has, it's not old, stagnant, out of date. I don't know, I've read the Bible through several times. I've never found an expiration date on there. Well, that'll be good up to 2012. And after that, you'll have to find something else to get the work of God done. There's no expiration date. He said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Fresh oil. I like that. That's powerful oil. That's kind of oil like when the lady came to anoint the Lord Jesus and she broke her alabaster box and she poured it upon His head and His feet. The Bible says the odor filled the room. It still had the power. It still had what it was made to do. And that was to be fragrant and to bring joy and to be a blessing and all of those things. And so there's a power in the oil that God has. Somebody asked me the other day, and I think I already said something about it, but it was a young preacher, and he's going to Bible college, and homework, I guess. I don't know, he's writing a paper or something, and he was interviewing older pastors. That's hard for me to say that. Preachers had been in the ministry a while. And he asked me a list of questions, and you know, I tried to answer him the best that I could. And one of the things he asked me, he said, well, I want to know, what's the best revival you've ever been in? And I thought about it. You know, I've been in some good revivals. I've been in some good services and things. I say, well, I'm thankful I got to see that. I'm thankful I got to experience that, but you know what? I thought about it a little more. You know what? It really doesn't matter. Because that's in the past. That best revival I've ever seen, that best revival I've ever been in my whole life, you know what? That's not doing a thing for me today except a good memory. We need some fresh oil. We need some fresh oil. Church, this morning, we need to have such a revival in our midst that one day we'll look back and say, you know what, that's the best revival I've ever. You remember what God did during that revival? You remember what the Lord did in our midst once upon a time? We need some of our own best revivals you ever had or heard or seen. We need fresh oil. Fresh oil. I love to study about the old revivals and the great awakening and all of those great things that the Lord has done in the past. But you know what? We need our own great awakening. God's got some fresh oil. He said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil is what the Bible says. We need to have our own fresh oil. The oil of the past is not going to get the job done for us today in 2012. Boy, we'd better hurry. You know, the world's going to end on the 21st. That's just a few days away. That's what they're talking about. The Mayan calendar runs out. Anybody ever thought maybe they just run out of papers while they didn't write anymore? I don't know. I really don't believe it, that if it ends on the 21st, it's of God, not the Mayans. But you know, the world's always going on with the next tragedy that's supposed to happen and never does and all like that. But anyway, he said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. We need some fresh oil to get the job done in this day and time. And last of all, this morning, it is purposed oil. In verse number 10, he said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Fresh oil. Now, I don't have time this morning to go through all the types of oil. He is talking here about anointing oil. It was olive oil. But even olive oil had many, many uses. They used it in their cooking. It's yesterday at sundown, Hanukkah began. That's a Jewish holiday, the Festival of Lights. Festival of Lights. And the thing about Hanukkah is there's an uprising in 200 B.C., I think it was. And the Greeks tried to come in and desecrate the temple, and the Jews rose up and fought back against them. And when they went into the temple after the battle was over, there was a lamp, a candle, that was still burning. And when they'd left, it only had enough oil to burn for one day, but they say it burnt for 8 days. That's why they light a candle each day on the menorah there, but that was olive oil. They used it for light. They used it in their food. They used it for fragrance. They used it for comfort. They used it for oil, like we think about oil. I mean, there's many, many uses. There's a purpose in the oil. He said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. And I think about this morning, what is it in your life you need some oil on? You need some oil on anything in your life? You need some oil on your prayer life this morning? Try to pray. You ever try to pray and you just can't pray? You can't pray just any time you want to. If you know anything about prayer this morning, you know that you cannot just pray at the drop of a hat. You cannot pray unless the Holy Ghost of God helps you pray. But boy, when the Lord helps you pray, isn't it easy? You ever try to pray? Some of you get called on to pray and you think, well, I really need to pray. You just stumble through it, and when you go home you think, did I even pray? Did I even say anything? Did God hear what I said? You need some oil on your prayer life. He said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. You need some oil on your praise life. Say, well, I know I ought to praise the Lord, and I know I need to praise the Lord, but I'm just having a hard time praising the Lord for some reason. I don't know why. I just don't feel right. I'm just not in the mood. I'm not in the spirit. I'm just sort of blah or whatever you want to say. You need some oil in your life. That'll grease up your prayer and your praise life. Somebody you want to witness to, you need some oil on your life if you're going to witness for Christ. Whatever it is, there's oil for your need of ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of oil. I'll tell you, I'd like to see it get so greasy around the house of God and so oily that we'd just be amazed. That scares us to death. For God to start moving and working and people testifying and shouting, and boy, I tell you, you talk about people getting real nervous. I'd like to see it get so oily sometime that we just forgot about all that and just got in and worshiped God. I've seen that a few times. I've seen that. It's becoming fewer and farther between, but He's the same God. He said, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. What do you need power over in your life? What do you need victory over in your life? You're not going to have it apart from the power of the Spirit of God in your life. You need fresh oil. Fresh oil. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.